At the legislature today, a bill requiring students in health fields that are not offered at West Virginia's higher education institutions to gain financial assistance in exchange for a commitment to practice in the state fails on a tie vote in the Senate today. We'll have that story. And the House discusses what's been called the brunch bill, allowing restaurants to serve drinks on Sunday mornings. These stories and more coming up on the legislature today. Good evening, I'm Beth Voorhees. Senators voted on seven bills today and saw the first bill of the session fail to pass. Also debated on the floor, the prescription-only pseudoephedrine bill, which some members tried to amend. Ashton Mara reports.
The 41st day of this regular session brought more discussion than usual to the Senate floor. It also brought more red to the board as senators voted on amendments to the prescription-only pseudoephedrine bill. On second reading, members of the Republican Party tried twice to amend Senate Bill 6, the first of which came from Senator Mitch Carmichael. His amendment preserves the over-the-counter sale of tamper-proof medications already contained in the bill, but also creates a meth offender registry to track those convicted of meth crimes, provides convicted meth offenders may only purchase pseudoephedrine through a prescription, cuts the supply a person can have on hand from 7 months to 3 months' worth of medicine, and preserves the use of the NPLEX system, which tracks the sale of pseudoephedrine across state lines.
And it does change the current bill, obviously. It makes it to where it is still available for law-abiding citizens to purchase. It greatly reduces the amount that can be purchased without a prescription. In fact, it cuts it in half and makes it among the most restrictive in the nation.
Senator Greg Tucker, the bill's lead sponsor, spoke against the amendments.
We've heard many times that this isn't a statewide problem, and I strongly disagree with that. The social cost to the state of West Virginia is enormous. The number of children in foster care, the number of abuse and neglect cases have our court systems clogged. Law enforcement has to focus on these problems. You have cleanup problems, which have broken our crime victims fund. This is our best solution that we have today, a prescription only. That is all that would prevent or at least reduce the number of meth labs.
A voice vote was taken.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Opinion of the chair, the noes have it.
And the amendment failed. Senator Evan Jenkins then rose to propose an amendment of his own, one that failed in the Judiciary Committee. The amendment would add language protecting a person who may obtain pseudoephedrine in bordering states and bring it back to West Virginia without having a prescription. It would, however, only protect a person in possession of the federal daily limit of 3.6 grams, or about a week's supply.
And if you have that 1 day's supply, no more than that, purchased it legally, and intend to use it legally, that you are not subject to criminal prosecution. Because without this amendment, and we'll talk more about it in a moment, you are subject to criminal prosecution for having one pill on your person in West Virginia.
Senate Judiciary Chair Corey Palumbo spoke against the amendment, calling it well-intended but gutting the bill.
If you allow people to possess the full federal amount of Sudafed products, which would be 48 grams, on a daily basis to go back and forth and bring those medications into our state one box at a time, you've essentially done nothing to address the problem. And furthermore, what you've done is you've said that these sales are okay, but go buy them at other states' stores. Don't buy them in West Virginia. Go buy them in Ohio. Go buy them in Maryland. Go buy them in Pennsylvania, Kentucky, Virginia. It's okay to go buy them there, but we're not going to let you buy them in West Virginia. To say it's okay to go out of state and then bring back box after box after box is just going to help proliferate the smurfing activity that goes on in West Virginia, where the meth maker gets 10 people to go buy a box of Sudafed for him. They bring him back, and then he makes the meth. I think this amendment would essentially, again, I think it's well-intentioned, but I think it does significant harm to the bill and will not do much to help us reduce meth labs in the state.
On a roll call vote, senators voted against the amendment on party lines. Up for consideration, Senate Bill 422. The bill creates a three-year in-state service requirement for veterinary, optometry, or podiatry students, programs not offered in West Virginia, who go to out-of-state schools for their education and receive state aid. That aid comes in the form of an agreement between West Virginia and those schools, allowing the student to pay an in-state tuition rate, with the state making up the tuition difference. Students who do not choose to fulfill their in-state service requirement instead must repay the state in the form of a loan. The bill was amended to allow students who enter military service or continue on to graduate school to defer their in-state service or loan repayment, but Senator Bob Williams says that's not enough. Williams says members of the veterinary field oppose the legislation. A similar program has been in existence since the 1950s, which Williams says is working without requiring the in-state service.
This program currently provides for our residents to have access to an educational opportunity at a minimal cost to the state. Senate Bill 420 is a solution looking for a problem, and the current program works. I ask for a no vote on this particular piece of legislation.
His fellow senators heard his plea and half voted with him. The bill tied 17-17 and died in the Senate. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Ashton Mara in the Senate.
The House voted on 10 bills during today's floor session, dealing with an array of issues from child support to permitting guns to be kept in vehicles on the Capitol complex. However, the bill that incited the most debate was one that would allow private licensees to begin alcohol sales at 10:30 a.m. instead of 1 p.m. as dictated by current code on Sundays. Aaron Payne reports.
House Bill 4454 would allow restaurants and tourism destinations such as bed and breakfast to serve alcoholic beverages as part of brunch. Delegate Doug Scaff rose in support of the bill due to the boost it could bring to tourism in the state.
Think about those resorts where people only come and frequent on the weekend. Think about those restaurants where people travel to from all our surrounding states. Think about those venues that we have that only employ West Virginians on the weekend. And so we're asking them to extend your stay, stay through Sunday, wake up early, enjoy breakfast, enjoy brunch, and then partake in all that we have to offer.
Two amendments were proposed on the floor, both of which would change the time frame in which alcohol could be served. Delegate Woody Ireland's amendment would change the starting time in the bill from 10:30 to noon on Sundays. Delegate Ireland felt that serving alcohol earlier was not necessary to boost tourism.
If we think about our tourism, what is our tourism? White water, Great Mountain, trout fishing, WVU ball games, all of those things that really make us proud of being a West Virginian. Is our tourism really a drink at 10:30 in the morning? I suggest to you, if our tourism is dependent upon a drink at 10:30 in the morning, we got some significant issues we need to address.
The amendment was rejected by a vote of 41-55. Delegate John Overington's amendment would change last call to serve alcohol every night to 2 a.m. rather than the current 3 a.m. Delegate Overington said that the current law attracts the wrong kind of people to the state.
All of our neighboring states close at an earlier hour. What this means is it's for our border counties, especially in the panhandles or all the border counties, it means that we attract the wrong type of people that come from Pennsylvania or Maryland. After they've had a few drinks, they want to continue drinking, and they come to a bar in West Virginia.
Delegate Tim Manchin said that while he took a neutral stance on the amendment, he wanted to offer reasons why the current code dictates 3 a.m. The West Virginia Alcohol Beverage Control Administration believed that a change to an earlier time could have an effect on lottery profits. Delegate Manchin also offered a historical reason for the current time.
That probably should be pointed out is the historical reason why perhaps this grew up. And I was with some folks last night who happened to be with the beverage industry, so I'll be honest about that. But they said that the way that this actually grew up was because of shift work. because there were people who actually worked a late shift and didn't get off work until 12 or 1 o'clock in the morning, and that by shutting off sales at 2, you deprived them of a right of going out after work and being able to imbibe and relax and enjoy themselves a little bit. So with all that taken into account, that's everything that I can tell you. So vote your conscience.
The amendment was adopted by a vote of 53-42. The bill as amended passed by a vote of 70-26 and moves on to the Senate for consideration. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Aaron Payne in the House.
In a moment, we'll find out more about ongoing water problems in Wyoming County. First, here's a look at some of the bills introduced in the Senate today. Among the bills introduced in the Senate today, Senate Bill 604, to provide a tax credit to coal producers who sell coal to taxpayers who increase their consumption of West Virginia coal in this state for the purpose of increasing coal production and coal-related employment. Senate Bill 605, to create and fund the establishment of a facility that studies and creates solutions to separate individual chemicals out of water, to be located at the West Virginia Regional Technology Park in South Charleston. Senate Bill 626, to establish the Elk River Spill Victims Compensation Fund and Act of 2014. And Senate Bill 628, creating the Healthy Children and Healthy Communities Act, requiring consideration by the Division of Highways and local governments of the implementation of pedestrian-friendly policies for all streets in order to encourage and allow utilization for a healthy, active lifestyle. Among the bills up for passage in the Senate tomorrow, Senate Bill 6, requiring drug products that may be converted to use in the manufacture of methamphetamine to be sold by prescription only. Senate Bill 15, allowing health care providers, the Bureau of Public Health, or local health departments that routinely bill insurance companies or other third-party providers may bill for HIV-related testing and treatment. However, no person shall be refused a test at a local health department because of a lack of insurance or inability to pay. And Senate Bill 100, to authorize municipalities to allow the operation of low-speed vehicles on its roads where the speed limit is not more than 35 miles per hour. Among the bills on second reading, Senate Bill 315, to clarify the use of funds for national security, homeland security, and other military-related or sponsored programs under the West Virginia Military Authority. Senate Bill 328, the governor's bill to repeal the Strategic Research and Development Tax Credit. Senate Bill 457, to require that inmates in a regional jail but committed to the custody of the Commissioner of Corrections have available the same classes and programs that are offered in Division of Corrections facilities. And Senate Bill 540, to require the West Virginia Secondary Schools Activities Commission to promulgate rules that allow a college preparatory team to elect to be recognized as a member. As residents in Kanawha County and 8 surrounding counties are dealing with their water issues after the Elk River chemical spill, other areas of the state are also dealing with very serious water quality issues. Residents of Bud and Alpoca in Wyoming County are desperate, with one woman posting on Facebook, "After 6 months of this filthy water, I've had enough. Nerves are stretched to the breaking point." Joining us to tell us more about this situation are Senator Mike Green of Raleigh County, whose district also includes Wyoming County. Also joining us is Senator Daniel Hall of Oceana in Wyoming County. Gentlemen, welcome. Glad you're here. Who wants to start out? What is this story? What is happening in Bud and Alpoca in eastern Wyoming County? What's the matter?
Well, as you mentioned, we have the communities of Bud and Alpoca. They're not too far outside the town of Mullins in Wyoming County. And it's been a privately owned water system there for several decades. And it's came under a disrepair in recent months. They've lost the gentleman who ran the plant there passed away, and it just kind of fell to the wayside. And so the water quality has always been relatively poor, but has in the last few months went really downhill. Mm-hmm. And so now we're trying to put things back together, and I've been working with the county commission and other folks, and Senator Green's been working with a lot of people here in Charleston, the agencies, and he can talk about that. But
how long has this been going on? How long has these communities had such bad water?
Well, it's the current situation is we've known is about 6 months, and trying to put that together, the Eastern PSD, Eastern Wyoming PSD, and the Logan PSD has teamed up now to take over that system, and, mm-hmm. and they're working to try to get it straightened out. Mm-hmm.
So what have you been doing to try to correct this situation and get clean water to these communities, which I understand also has schools in them? So,
yeah, correct. Well, actually, in one of the school districts is Herndon Elementary School, Coville and Herndon also. And Beth, you know, again, it's unacceptable, and I appreciate you helping us bring light to the situation. But since we first were aware of the situation about 6 weeks ago now, I mean, we have, again, met with the county and local officials, but we've also met with the secretary of the DHHR. We've sought assistance from them and the Bureau of Public Health. We've met with the Public Service Commission, President Mike Albert, and hoping to get some resolution for these folks in Wyoming County. In addition, we've met and had meetings with Adjutant General Hoyer from the National Guard, Jimmy Jeanette from the Homeland Security, and I can just tell you that the folks of the National Guard have went above and beyond. I mean, I was very impressed with General Hoyer and his team. Within days of me reaching out and contacting him, he has sent a team down to evaluate not only the quality of water, but also the defunct system to see what, if anything, we could do to get that system operable again.
What is the role of the Public Service Commission in these small, privately owned water treatment water companies? What do they do?
Well, at this point, what I'm hoping for is again, you know, we've sought assistance from the Public Service Commission, and they have assisted in by expediting a ruling, which I'm hoping to have a ruling come down this week.
What would that ruling be?
Well, and obviously we'll have to wait to see. But my hope is that the Public Service Commission will give the authority to the Logan County PSD or the Eastern Wyoming County the authority to take over this water system to make sure that it can become operable and start cleaning that water to where it is potable for the residents of Wyoming County.
Mm-hmm. What about the Bureau of Public Health? This water is not usable, it's not drinkable, it is not protective of the public health, which is the description for the Elk River drinking water in Charleston. It is not protective of the public health. What can the Bureau of Public Health do?
Well, you know, Beth, I mean, I'm a little bit disappointed in our Department of Health and Human Resources at this point in this juncture. Their position has been that they've tested the water, they've issued a boil water advisory, and they, at that point, question whether or not they have any more responsibility in that. Well, I think they do. We will continue to work with the administration and the Department of Health and Human Resources to ensure that they are doing and fulfilling all their responsibility for the residents of Wyoming County. Mm-hmm. Again, it is frustrating trying to find and trying to get assistance for these people. I can only imagine having to live there and deal with this on a day-to-day basis. Mm-hmm.
After Jessica Lilly from West Virginia Public Radio did a story about this and the water issues there, a lot of donations came in from as far away as New Jersey and North Carolina. So people are really wanting to help these communities and this, particularly this Herndon Elementary School, to get clean water to drink and to cook with and to bathe with. That's got to feel, this is a terrible situation, but at least that's got to feel kind of good that people are taking care of these communities or trying to.
It sure does. And I know the people from Wyoming County are very resilient, and we're tough down there, and we're taking care of ourselves. But it does make the community feel very good that people from outside care enough to try to send help. Mm-hmm. We're very grateful for that.
How many of these privately owned public service districts are there, say, in Wyoming County or throughout your districts, do you know?
There are several. To give you an exact number, I could not say. We have several PSDs throughout the county. I would say in southern West Virginia, just in general, maybe not necessarily in our district, there may be a couple dozen. Mm-hmm.
Is there any legislative remedy here? You've had a situation where it's a private water company, where a fellow was working it and doing his best, but he passed away. As we look at regulation and inspection of above-ground storage tanks, do we look at regulation and inspection of these water treatment facilities that are run privately? Can we do that?
We're looking at that. Here in the near term, our number one priority is to get temporary water to these folks. I mean, we have the Logan County PSD. There is a water line extension that's coming. They're going to bring relief to the area of Wyoming County that's in question. We are literally a year away before that extension comes. We have to find a way to remedy this the situation now. Again, 6 months is unacceptable for the residents of any place, a little less West Virginia, mm-hmm. To not have potable water. Mm-hmm. So our main focus now is to find a temporary water source and until we can treat this plant, until we can get this treatment plant up and operable for these folks. After that, we'll look at any type of legislation or remedy once we really find out the cause of this problem and what the solution is. Because mm-hmm. at this point, we don't have an answer for the residents of Wyoming County. And I want to tell you, and I want to tell them that their concerns are not being ignored. We will not allow their concerns to be ignored in this situation.
Mm-hmm. And certainly there are 300,000 West Virginians who sympathize with the small communities of Bud and Alpoca. What about the National Guard? Now, of course, the governor declared a state of emergency after the Elk River chemical spill. And the National Guard and FEMA were here with tanks of water and trucks of water. Where can you find a water source for these folks? Where will it come from? Well, so we saw the donations, but where will it come from?
Yeah, well, and that's what we're working through. I mean, you know, my role in this, and Senator Hall has worked diligently with the local county commission, the local agencies, and they have all been very sympathetic in trying to assist in this issue. We are now trying to find state agencies that have the due diligence and the responsibility to assist in this situation. We've not found that yet, and we will continue to be a voice. We will continue to turn over every rock we can until we find someone that will assist. The issue with the National Guard is the lack of a state of emergency. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the situation here warranted the state of emergency, but the situation in Wyoming County, due to a defunct water system, although unfortunate, does not meet the qualifications for a state of emergency.
How many people does this affect?
I'm going to guess probably a couple thousand.
Oh, is that right? All right. All right, Senator Daniel Hall and Senator Mike Green, I appreciate you coming on and letting us know about this situation in Wyoming County. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
And here's a look at some of the bills introduced in the House today. Among the bills introduced in the House today, House Bill 4577, to provide assistance to small businesses by the West Virginia Development Office. The bill provides for the assignment of Economic Development Office representatives to serve as small business allies, to act as facilitators to assist small business entities and individuals desiring to establish and maintain a small business. House Bill 4582, to require physical education and a program in physical fitness in the public schools, and that each child engage in 30 minutes of physical activity each school day. House Bill 4602, to reaffirm the legal right and authority of state or local law enforcement to enter public areas on or adjacent to any private club, or take other appropriate police action to enforce the underage drinking laws or any other laws of this state. And House Bill 4603, to establish an alternative to medical malpractice litigation, whereby patients are compensated for medical injuries. Up for passage in the House tomorrow, House Bill 4302, to allow the use of county election officials to conduct elections held for public school purposes. And House Bill 4371, making the theft of a traffic sign or signal a misdemeanor. Among the bills on second reading, House Bill 4294, relating to the establishment of standards for court reporters and entities providing court reporting services. And House Bill 4384, to require teachers of students with exceptional needs to either be present at an individual education program meeting or to read and sign a copy. This applies, but is not limited to, teachers of music, musical education, art, driver's education courses, and all other courses. This has been the Legislature Today. Tomorrow, we'll talk with Dr. James Ferris, the state superintendent of schools. Another Kanawha County elementary school had to close early today due to a licorice odor in the water. We welcome your comments. You can email us at feedback@wvpublic.org. Follow us on Twitter @WVPublic News and find us on Facebook. I'm Beth Voorhees. Thanks for joining us. Good night.
Support for legislative coverage provided by the High Technology Foundation, headquartered at the I-79 Technology Park in Fairmont. Details at wvhtf.org. Support is also provided by the West Virginia AFL-CIO, the voice for West Virginia workers, online at wvaflcio.org.